Here in Philippians, we have Paul writing from prison, and he doesn't know if he's going to be released. He considers that that's possible, but he also sees very clearly the prospect of death in front of him. And so the huge theme in Philippians of joy is all the more significant when we remember this is a man riding from prison facing possible death. And you think of the Lord talking as he faced his death of my joy I leave with you in the upper room discourse. So how on earth did he arrive at this position of being able to rejoice in the face of death? Well, to talk about death is to really put the finger right on the painful point in the human psyche. You are going to die and I am going to die. And you think of how you're going to die. Will it be heart attack? Will it be hospice care with cancer? Will it be a road accident? Will it be wearing out, dying of pneumonia or something in your 90s? Will it be a bullet? Could it be anything, really? It could be all sorts of things. And we wriggle somewhat at this because it is perfectly normal to have some fear of death. The Lord Jesus in Hebrews 5, we're told, prayed with strong crying and tears, and I guess it refers to Gethsemane, to him that could save him from death, and was heard in his fear. And I take that at face value. He faced all the usual human fear of death. And he was human, and yet in his fear he prayed with strong crying and tears, without sin. It is not sinful to fear death. But the whole issue of death and the human fear of death is our psychological weak point. And to put your finger on that fissure line and press, as the Bible does, because it has a lot to say about these ultimate issues, is hard for us. And yet, here in Philippians 1, you have Paul facing death and talking about it quite openly. So verse 20, he talks about his earnest hope, that in nothing will I be put to shame, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And it seems to echo Job 13 a bit, where Job seems to say that he knows that death is going to come to him ultimately, but he's not unduly fazed because he believes that that will glorify God. And Paul is arguing here as if death is a win-win situation. He sees it that the whole purpose of his life is to serve the Lord Jesus through serving people like the Philippians. That is the sole purpose of his life. To live is Christ. And yet to die will mean that the next waking moment he will be with the Lord Jesus. Death he sees as just a moment, as a sleep, which is all it is. And so it's win-win as far as he's concerned. He will glorify Jesus by being resurrected and given eternal life. He will glorify Jesus if he doesn't die straight away, because he is confident that his whole life is devoted to glorifying Jesus. Now, of course, if his religion, if his spiritual side was just one part of his thinking and he was caught up with issues to do with a career and money and wealth creation and family, and if all those things were pressing on him, and, well, this spiritual stuff, this stuff about God and the kingdom of God and all that was just part of his life, he wouldn't be able to see things in this win-win way that he does. We also, however, can no less likewise see everything as win-win. Because if our whole lives are devoted to Jesus so that we can say to live for me is Christ and to die, well, the next moment it's also Christ because I shall be resurrected and be glorified with him the next I know. Well, life's wonderful. It's win-win, whatever way. And this fear of death we are therefore delivered from, which is, of course, what Hebrews says, that those who lived their lives, all their lifetimes, in bondage to the fear of death are delivered because of their identity with the Lord Jesus. So he doesn't know if he's going to be delivered from prison. He doesn't know whether he's going to have to die a death of a martyr. But he's saying that he's not fazed by that. For him, the best is ahead, quite clearly. He says he has this desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he says is far better. Well, what a wonderful position to be in. He says, to verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I think he means it's also gain. Both of them are gain. They're win-win. So he sees the best as ahead, which is very different to secular thinking. There is, in the secular mindset, a strong tendency within human nature to think that, as Ecclesiastes says, the former days were better than these. Yesterday was great. When I was young, it was great. Now, it's not so good as it used to be. And tomorrow, well, ultimately, death. No, that's worse. And you see it in unbelieving Israel in the wilderness. They looked back to Egypt and said, we remember the garlic, we remember the fish, the onions. It was better there. Yet when they were there, they were saying, anything's better than this, God, get us out of here. And they really are the classic example of thinking the former days are better than these. Whereas for us, the past was awful. It was Egypt. It was the world. Now is much better, thank God. And tomorrow will be wonderful because I'm living for Jesus and ultimately I shall die and then, next waking moment, with the Lord. This is a wonderful way to live. But as I say, you're only going to get there if in your heart and soul you are totally committed to him as a person, so that you can say to live is Christ in this life, and, well, whatever comes tomorrow is likewise Christ, whether it is death or carrying on living now for a bit. And the whole idea is that, as he says, verse 22, if by living in the flesh, living a bit further in this life, this will bring fruit from my work, then what I shall choose, I don't know. In other words, it's all the same. That's the point. It's win-win. It makes no difference. Although he says, in a sort of, I think, a hypothetical theoretical discussion, verse 23, I'm torn between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So he's saying, on one hand, yeah, the easy way would be to die. Yeah, that would be the better way. I mean, what a totally positive view of death and the cessation of this life, to say that that is far better, far better. But then he says, but I think that if I remain in the flesh, that will be more needful for you. And so he says, well, he sort of comes down on the side of, well, I reckon that God's going to keep me alive a bit longer for your sake. The tragedy was that all in Asia, which included Philippi, turned away from him in the end. And, well, that's all pretty tragic, really. But all the same, he has this confidence, he says, verse 25, having this confidence, I know, or I'm persuaded, that I will abide and stay with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So he opens his heart to us, this sort of little mental daydream that he's had, being torn between these two options. But I think what a window you get into his whole outlook. But the idea is only valid as it is, this win-win attitude that he has, if the life that he's going to continue living is likewise Christ. To live is Christ. If it is life totally lived with Christ, as he says in Colossians 3, about all of us, you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then with him you also will be manifested in glory. So Christ, who is our life. It's putting it another way when he says, for me to live is Christ. It is a total personal focus upon Jesus and an utter confidence that his life shall be mine. So he says this is my hope, but let me again clarify that the Greek word elpis, that is translated hope, really means an assurance, an utter certainty. The English word hope has this sense of hoping for the best. I'm not sure, but I hope. Well, I hope so. And this is not the idea. This is not the idea at all. The hope of Israel is not the possibility. It is the absolute assurance. And if the gospel is good news, it means that we should be able to say at any given moment, I know that should I die now, I will be saved. Of course, we may throw it all away in, you know, later life, but leave tomorrow to worry about the things of itself. I believe, though I should not be in the kingdom because I am a sinner, I believe that by grace I will be. So if I die or Jesus comes back at this point, I will be saved. That is the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel is good news. It's not simply information about a kingdom of God which shall come. It is good news that I shall be there. And that is the gospel, the good news. And if we don't believe that, if that is not our absolute solid confidence, then we have not believed that good news. And it is as simple as that. It is not information about, it is an absolute personal certainty. And as I say, his win-win attitude to death and to his future is really predicated upon having that absolute certainty. And so this is absolutely possible for you and me, absolutely possible. This is what makes life worth living, that fears about possible futures in this life, whatever the fear may be it health issues, be it death itself, and all the other stuff which is, whatever it might be, of slightly lesser moment than death itself, all that other stuff, whatever it is, death itself, it is to be looked at in terms of win-win. Because in the end, well, it's sort of a race to death, really. You know, great. To die would be far better. But okay, so it seems, as Paul says, to abide in the flesh is more necessary for you for the moment. But because my life is totally committed to Jesus, and to live is Christ, and as he says to the Colossians, our life is hid with Christ in God, and Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and we also shall be manifested with him in glory, then in that case, we can be, well, just rejoice. Words fail me, really, to express it, apart from to say, look, life is win-win. The future is win-win. And, of course, this is absolutely the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his love and his great salvation.